Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun. Follow the Utah Grizzlies on Facebook for the latest on weekend home games, or visit utahgrizzlies.com for more. Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun.
I'm Henry Glasheen, digital content coordinator for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, lifestyle, arts, and events. In this episode, we're going to be interviewing Eisner Award-winning comic book creator and artist Chuck Beebe, and we'll also be listening to a track from the symphonic black metal band Fiendlord. Chuck Beebe was the artist on the Eisner Award-winning comic Black Metal, as well as the continuing artist of the monthly Decibel comic called Stone Cold Lazy. Here we're going to talk to him about his various music interests and his perspectives on the comic book industry.
One of the first things that I was really interested in when I first saw your work was that you're a metalhead and you, like, fly the metal flag. It's totally badass. So I was kind of wondering how you first got your start in metal music.
That's tough to say. You know, in high school, I was, like, really into punk, and then I got into hardcore, and then I kind of just discovered metal, and I actually really got into black metal first before anything. Obviously, like, you know, when I was really young, I was into, like, Iron Maiden, but mostly for, like, the album covers, and I just liked all the imagery that kind of came with that stuff. But what brought me back to metal for some reason was black metal. It just seemed so crazy, all the stories surrounding it, kind of the symphonic epicness of some of the stuff. And later on, I kind of found the more, like, raw, kind of dark, crony kind of stuff. But, yeah, that way I sort of made my way through all of metal history, and, you know, and that was kind of how I got into it. But thanks to the internet was, like, kind of a thing at that point, so I was able to mine it for all the information and the band names and stuff like that. So that was kind of how I got in.
So what bands are you listening to these days? I saw you had picked up a couple of tapes over at a swap meet, and I saw, like, a Helmet one in there, and Megadeth album.
I recently totaled my truck, and a friend of mine has kind of hooked me up with a different car, and it has a tape player in it, so it's opened up this whole new realm of cheap music options for me. So whenever I go to, like, flea markets or thrift stores, I'm always searching through the tapes. And in that batch, I got, like, Megadeth's Symphony of Destruction and Helmet's Meantime, and I got a Testament album, a Crocus album, not being that picky since it's $1 a tape, you know. But yeah, no, I have been listening to that Megadeth album in the car. Love Paul Bearer's stuff right now. Pretty into that. It was pretty cool. Like, I tagged their name in my Decibel comic, and they tweeted, like, oh, I don't remember what they said, but it was something like, you know, we've made it now. Which was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so about your Decibel comic, I actually didn't know it was you until, it's actually a pretty convoluted story. I think I first, like, took notice of you after reviewing the black metal comic. Then I finally went back and I was like, oh my god, it's the same guy as the guy who does Stone Cold Lazy. That's awesome. How did you get that gig?
Yeah, you know, by doing a comic about black metal, and black metal sort of afforded me an opportunity to talk to other metalheads, and, you know, record labels were like, hey, we're going to send you records, and Decibel was like, you interested in doing a comic as a result of black metal, and that was kind of how I got hooked up with them.
That's super cool, man. That is awesome, Diggs. I guess the better question then is, how did the idea for black metal really start?
Yeah, you know, I was just already a huge metalhead, and I like comics, and I was like, you know, it's probably always best to do something that's true to you, and you're like, I want to do something about what I like. So I tried diddling around with that, and I had some early sketches, and I went to show them to Rick, and Rick was like, hey, I like these drawings. You've got something here. Let me take it and make it not a terrible idea. So I think it comes out doing something that meant something to me. I wanted to do something true to who I was. That's sort of how the idea genesis.
Sweet. So how did you and Rick Spears start your relationship on the comic, or even outside of that? It sounds like you kind of knew him beforehand.
I knew of him beforehand, and we might have met, but we had never talked before. We were at an ape convention in San Francisco, like, whenever that was, 2005 or 2006 or something. I just went up and talked to him. I knew he was looking for some stuff. Actually, that was how it happened. Friendship over a pitch.
Sweet. That is awesome. Kind of going back to the metal vein, I mean, one of the things that really got me excited about black metal was you have a style that's very, I don't know what the right word for it is. It's like cartoony and cool and loose, but at the same time, it's like really intense, and you really nailed a lot of character designs from the sort of metal mythos in a way that almost transcended the goofy style of the comic. Like, I don't know how to put it. I think the best thing for me to ask you is, so obviously you're a little bit influenced by like metal and hardcore in your art style. How do you feel like you manifest that in your own art?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. I mean, I do have, for lack of a better word, like a cartoonier style, heavily stylized. I kind of figured it would be sort of challenging to like take such an extreme music where people take it so seriously and do it in my style, but I was a metalhead and that's the way I draw, you know, to kind of make it work. So as far as like imagery, I mined a lot of it from music. Obviously, like Frost Ax is like an immortal kind of band. And yeah, I think having the intense thick line work, a lot of black, really helped make it intense. You know, I think it's still fun, but I think it is pretty metal.
Oh yeah, for real. Like, true as true gets, for real. I'm actually interested in how you first got interested in making art for comics specifically. Like, how did you get your start in the industry?
I kind of had given up on comics in high school. I was like really into musical, into shows and stuff like that. And I did like do a zine and stuff. When I was younger, I read comics, or at least I looked at the pictures, and like kind of dropped off after the image boom in the 90s. And after high school, I met some friends and they were like, hey, you've missed a lot of really good comics. Like, here's Preacher and Sin City and Bone and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And I remember drawing, so I just kind of started drawing again, started doing mini comics, going to Ape. And my first break, actually, I was on a message board for Steve Niles, posted some stuff, and shortly thereafter, he was like, hey, man, you want to do a comic? And I was like, yes, not really knowing how much work it was going to be. And I was actually in college at the time, so I was like doing this comic miniseries at the same time, neglecting work, but that was how I got in. Or now I got to see how thin the line was between fan and professional. You know, what makes you professional? It's just the time you get published, or is it just when you say I am a professional comics artist?
That's cool. That's kind of like that's an interesting way to be discovered, especially since, you know, message boards didn't really exist before. Like, I mean, I guess they've been around for a while, but they didn't really get popular until like the late 90s, early 2000s. So yours is kind of like a more recent, very...
This was, I mean, 2003 or 4 or something like that, maybe.
Wow.
So I didn't do anything after I did that comic, Secret Skull with Steve. Not really much for a while. I think I kind of would have made my way to doing comics, even if it happened a different way. Although, I guess, getting in that way just helped a little bit, also understanding like the mechanics of the industry and stuff like that, and how easy it is to become a professional comic artist.
Yeah, and I mean, getting to work with Steven Niles, that's actually pretty awesome. I mean,
yeah,
I got to meet that guy for a signing for 30 Days of Night, and he is super, super cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, and it was definitely like him taking a chance on some unknown, but it was cool. I mean, that was getting to work with a pretty big name pretty early without a lot of experience. So, you know, I can't exactly look at that stuff with any fondness for the quality of art at this point, but it's definitely someone trying to learn how to figure out how to do comics.
And yeah, your style has become a lot more consistent as time has gone on. I mean, you've always had this really super raw feel to your art, which is what I really appreciate about it. But it's very tightly contained. Like you have a very intentional way of approaching it, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I never thought about it, and I appreciate. I guess it is sort of a little raw. It's weird because I do a lot of other work where it's very tight. You know, there's not looseness for design work and stuff like that. I might keep style consistency in that work, but the way that I ink the comic stuff is definitely trying to be a little looser, although to me it feels so controlled, so I don't know.
That's cool. What are you currently working on in the field of comics? Like, I know you've been working on a few variant covers, like you had the cover that was for Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
But what else have you been working on lately?
Yeah, I've done a bunch of variant covers. I'm doing, like, the Bill and Ted variant covers. But as far as, like, straight-up comics, I'm not sure. I've got a couple things of my own that are brewing, but they're not really at a place where I can talk about them too much. I am working on a thing with Ivan Brandon called Death Face, which there's some images online for that. But also, we're not exactly sure when that's happening, so or where or how, I should say. Yeah, I guess you'll just have to keep tuned in because I don't have anything big announced just yet. And I'm not sure. I mean, I do a lot of work for, like, game design and animation design, and who knows? Is that a terrible answer or what?
No, that's not a terrible answer at all. That's totally reasonable. I mean, it's kind of a field where you kind of have to be working on a project or coming up with an idea at any time. And, you know, you can't always be working on a project, you know?
Yeah.
So if you could work on, like, anything, I mean, I know that's kind of a broad statement, but do you have, like, any dream projects that you would like to work on in the future that maybe haven't fully formed or are just in the idea phase or just something cool that you would love to get, like, a writer on?
I'd like to try my hand at writing a little bit. I've got a project that I really want to do, but it's going to take a while to figure out all that stuff because writing is kind of a challenge for me and I'm trying to take it pretty seriously. I'd love to do like a swashbuckling fantasy kind of thing. Like I've been reading a lot of fantasy stuff lately, digging on that. I'd love to get more of a chance to play with some of the big company stuff just for fun. I mean, I've had an opportunity to work a little bit for Marvel here and there.
With like Kelly Sue DeConnick?
Yeah, I did the story with her for Spider Island. Which was fun, and it's nice working for a fancy professional company like that. So I'd love to do that. I don't know if there's a place for me, but I see Marvel taking a lot of chances on the art that's in their books these days. So, hey, who knows?
One thing I was kind of interested in, you got special recognition at the Eisner Awards for Black Metal.
Yeah.
How does that work exactly? I haven't seen anybody else get that kind of an award.
I'm the only one who has that award, but basically, I think I am anyways. I think basically it just, they decided to change their Russ Manning, kind of like Best Newcomer Awards. They took it out of that year and then put that one in there. But I think it basically is the same award as that, just for some reason that, you know, I guess the talent's deserving of wider recognition. And as for like the benefits of having an Eisner, I don't know.
But it must have been pretty cool to win it, right?
It was cool, and it's exciting, and it feels good, and it feels like you're getting recognition and stuff. I can honestly say it probably hasn't affected my career on any level. Even any of the books that I've done, they typically don't even mention it, so I don't know. Or they mention it slightly.
Yeah, I don't think they even mentioned it in the omnibus for Black Metal.
No.
That was kind of surprising, because you actually won it for Black Metal.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal with that on it, other than maybe it was just an oversight, or I feel bad about going, hey guys, maybe you should mention that when I was doing it. Like an asshole kind of thing to do, but...
Not necessarily. So changing tacks a little bit, you mentioned that you've been reading a bit of fantasy lately. What series what books have you been reading lately?
I have been reading a bunch of Conan stuff, the old stuff, trying to go in order, but also I discovered, and I'm sure everyone else already knows about it who reads this kind of stuff, but for me it was like out of the blue, Michael Moorcock's like Elric series, saga thingy. that's been super interesting and fun to me, and I'm looking forward to, like, I think I've almost finished all the books in that series, and just digging it.
Yeah, I saw your sketch of Elric on your Tumblr page, and I was getting super excited about it because, yeah, I read the Elric books like a couple years back, but I'm reading them again, and they're just they're so good.
Yeah, and they like tie in with the other characters that are the Eternal Champions or whatever, and I want to read those books too. Good stuff.
As somebody who's interested in fantasy, you mentioned you wanted to do something like a little bit more like swashbuckling or like the sword and sorcery style stuff of like Robert Howard.
Yeah, sword and sorcery. That or Elric, I think, is in that realm as well. It's a little more like in touch with its feelings, but it's still pretty sword and sorcery, right?
I mean, it would be really cool. I mean, I know that there have been some comic adaptations of Elric, but it would be pretty cool to see, like, your take on it, because I would be down to read that.
Get Moorcock on the phone, get him on the horn, tell him we're doing it.
So, really quick, one last question before I let you go.
Sure.
What advice would you give to somebody who's an aspiring artist who really wants to get into the comics industry?
Look, if you can draw really well, and if you can draw in a house style, or if you're really tight, I don't think you'll have a problem getting in. Otherwise, just keep working at it. I mean, the only advice is what everybody says all the time, is just do it. Just do something that you feel is personal, and be honest, and do a good job. Just do it. Put your ass in gear. If you get it done, people will come talk about it. Also, consider other avenues of a career. If you can draw Spider-Man, like, the best, or some character the best, like, you're really good at that, you'll probably be okay. Although, like, there's probably other places where you could be making more money than in comics, but let's say you love comics and you really want to be a part of it, you really want to tell stories in that way, then you just do it. You get out there, you go to conventions, you pass it out, you talk to other creators, email writers, email artists, ask for opinions. The worst thing they can say is no or nothing. Or they can give you critiques, you know? I mean, what have you got to lose if you're nowhere?
Hi, it's me, Bill Allred, and if you haven't been listening to my podcast, The Let's Go Eat Show, here's some of what you've been missing.
The cool thing about the Little Chocolatiers is we were able to make some really cool things.
You still get recognized a lot from the show. How often does that happen?
Any little person, you know, we will be confused with. And so, you know, sometimes they'll confuse us with the Roloffs and Little
Oregon,
People
yeah.
Big World. They'll confuse us
actors
with Bill.
And actresses.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so like,
download The Let's Go Eat Show now. It's available on iTunes and theletsgoeatshow.com.
Now that we're back from break, let's go ahead and give a listen to this track from Fiendlord. Fiendlord is a symphonic black metal outfit from Salt Lake City, Utah. They are composed of two parts, Hypnoctis, who writes and records all of the instruments save for the voice, which is performed by Alioth. The two recently released a demo that was called Dust on the Chamber Floor, and you can read my review of it in April's edition of Slug. And this is a track from that record called Abode of Forgotten Dreams.
We'll be right back.
That was Abode of Forgotten Dreams by Fiend Lord. You can check out more of their music on their Bandcamp page, which will be linked on the slugmag.com website, along with this podcast. Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @SlugSoundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, John Ford, and myself, Henry Glasheen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples, and our main logo and art design was by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Next week, we're going to be sitting down with Alex Cragen, and he's going to be speaking with Utah House Representative Johnny Anderson about the fallout from the recent legislative session. Thanks for listening.